Pastor Gary Connor welcomes you to this message from Christian Worship Center, located in Zillow, Washington. Christian Worship Center is shaping the lives of people and families through a vibrant church community and world-class educational program. Our passion is to impact our state, national, and worldwide community with the message of salvation through Jesus Christ. Get ready for this powerful message.
You feel like the Lord has touched you this morning? Yeah, me too. Praise the Lord. I like that. I want to give you some ammo this morning, some instruction this morning. Everybody knows this. And maybe I'm getting in this sentimental kind of mood thing to we're talking about being the children of God and first love and all those kinds of things that I think the Lord needs to remind us periodically, because our status with God, our place in God, is going to be secure all the way to heaven as long as you are seeking the Lord, trying to be faithful to the Lord. I don't know about you, but I have this this understanding about a relationship, I don't know, with God. I don't know if you see things the way I do, and I'm not necessarily trying to persuade you to live for Christ the way I live for Christ, but part of how I live for Christ is part of the message that God presents to this congregation. And one of the things I believe about walking with Christ is it's always a challenge. It's always good. It's a good thing. When He challenges you, it is the kind of challenge that the end result of that is going to be something very positive and something very good. And sometimes you go through the fire and the rain and the wind and the storm and so forth in your life. But at the end of it all, at the end of this trial, there'll be another trial, yes, but at the end of this trial, you begin to understand what God has allowed you to go through and what He wants to establish in your life. Does that make sense? And so I want to read a scripture to this morning. I want to talk about something that was just dropped in my spirit this morning. And so I want to share it with you the best I can. And I think it's a positive thing. We sing songs of praise and adoration and glorifying of God. That's our intent. That's our motive. The talent that's put together to write songs and hymns and whatever to help inspire us in our worship to the King. All those things are awesome, and all of them are good, and they do much in inspiring us and so forth. But there has to be something going on in your life. There has to be something structurally going on in your life. Otherwise, the experiences you go through are not going to produce anything in you. Am I making sense?
Yes.
And so I want to talk about that this morning. I want to talk about faith and prayer. And I want to use them simultaneously. I think you all know how to pray. Praying is nothing more than conversation with God. Prayer is a powerful tool. In fact, God He's limited us with a couple of tools to live this life and to live it successfully. It's not easy. It's not easy to be a Christian in a world that's not Christian. Amen? And so it's always been that way, and we know that because they killed the Lord, and they want to kill you too in one way or another. So we know that it's difficult, and so prayer and faith have to be linked together. Prayer without faith is worthless. It's just words in the air and a conversation, nice talk with God as you walk through the tulips. But prayer and faith focus God's power and His action into particular areas of your life. And so I want to talk about that a little bit this morning, and I want to direct you to the book of Ephesians, and I want to read this scripture for you. It's only a couple of verses, Ephesians 6. Chapter 6, verses 18 and 19. And I want to approach this from what it says, and then I want to give you an observation that I want to share with you as well. Are you up for that? Okay, chapter 6. If anybody has read this very much at all, the book of Ephesians, good book, very good book, good people. It was a good church. A good church, maybe about the same size as our church, but a dynamic church because they had faith and they believed the Lord Jesus Christ and the Apostle Paul. They believed in the Lord, and the Apostle Paul had mentored them in many ways. But they demonstrated on their own their ability to hear and follow God. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we knew in our hearts that we're hearing and following the Lord? I contend that the Lord confirms that in you and affirms you with that confirmation. Is that too convoluted? I want you to understand something, that when God does something in your life, when He plants a seed, when He ministers in whatever area, it doesn't make any difference, He always moves to confirm that in you. When God speaks to you, He confirms the words that He's speaking to you. He'll send someone, or He'll send a passage that you look at in the Scripture, or He'll just drop it in your spirit that you know, that you know, that you know God is going to do what He said He was going to do. Am I making sense now? You're getting a little connection to that? So let me read these verses for you, and let's move into this. This morning, with anticipation of God speaking to us in our own personal hearts. Amen? Verse 18 says this, "Pray always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit," capital S, not your spirit, His Spirit, "and watching thereto," watching unto what? "Unto prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance." That means enduring whatever it takes to accomplish prayer and supplication. Amen? And supplication, of course, for all the saints. So He wants your prayer and supplication to be successful. He wants it to be focused. He wants it to include everybody that is a saint of God in that. And so it's a wonderful exhortation. Semicolon, which means what follows, is pretty important. So verse 19 has got to be pretty important. "And for me," he includes himself now in this prayer and supplication thing, "and for me in their prayer and supplication, that utterance may be given unto me." Now, I don't know if you know much about the Holy Spirit. Anybody ever hear about Him? And if you know anything about the Holy Spirit, you know He loves to get inside our spirit and minister through us and to us and be a constant companion to us. So what we don't always catch when we read that verse, "and for me, that utterance may be given unto me." Utterance is what he's talking about, is the Holy Spirit speaking through me. Is that making sense now? He utters. That same word is used when it's talking about the day of Pentecost. And the Spirit rested upon them, and unction and utterance and words came through us that were not us or of us, but they were of God. Amen? And so he's talking about a very spiritual thing that you don't have to have some glowing around the back of your head in your picture next time you take a picture with your family, and they got this glow back there like you're a big saint. But what it does mean is that God knows how to move through you and speak to you. Amen? And by the way, everybody here this morning has the capacity to receive and to hear from God and to be right with God and have all well in the world. But let me finish this verse. "And for me, that utterance may be given unto me," for what reason? "That I may open my mouth boldly." I'm going to tell you something. Christians can't be bold. I'm going to make a bold statement. Christians cannot be bold without the boldness of the Lord. He has to utter that or unction that in your life. That I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, period. Now, those two verses are very important verses because I want to talk about faith and prayer this morning. And I want to link them together because I think they're absolutely essential for each other. I think your faith won't be strong if you're not praying. And I don't think your prayer will be effective if you're not having faith. Amen? And so they walk hand in hand, they nurture each other, and they grow in us, and they have the capacity to get larger in us, so our faith can get larger and our prayer life can get larger. But what I'm talking about is not the kind of faith that just is passive. I'm talking about proactive faith, faith that launches in advance, that is preempts your problems. And I want to get into that in a little bit clarify that a little bit for you. But I think what he's talking about is just exactly what I'm referring to, and it is having faith and prayer that are so dynamic that it moves God to move in a focused manner to accomplish things in your life. Now, I'm going to tell you something. You can pray general prayers if you want to, and they are effective, and they'll have an effect in your life. And you can have faith in a general way, but you will not see the dynamics of God, and you will not see the power of God and the response of God and the focus of God on your issues and your needs unless you link them together in a dynamic way. And what I'm going to be talking about is how to do that. And I'll do that in just a moment, but I want to give you a little background. These two verses follow probably some of the most famous parts of the book of Ephesians, and that is putting on the whole armor of God. Now, I'm not going to read all of that for you, the helmet of salvation and the word of God, the sword of God. You read it for yourself. You've read it before. You know what I'm talking about. But what he is doing when he uses a soldier, and by the way, the picture he has in his mind, the image that Paul has in his mind when he describes the full armor of God is a Roman soldier. And so if you've ever looked back in history to pictures of their armament, he obviously had a helmet, and he associates that, you know, with a particular part of your spiritual walk, salvation or whatever, the breastplates of righteousness and the sword, which is the word of God. And so I don't want to get into a whole lot of that. I just want you to know he's using a Roman soldier as an image of what he's sharing and what he expects Christians to be, well armored and well prepared to fight a battle if necessary for the Lord Jesus Christ. And then in these last two verses that I just read for you, he's applying all of this armor to a specific thing. And you have all this armor, protection of your brain and your chest and vital parts and shod with the preparation of the gospel and all of that. That imagery that he's putting together in a spiritual way should help us and encourage us to realize that God has prepared us for spiritual battle. Sometimes it overflows into the physical because Rome was very big on killing Christians. In fact, the Christians were driven to the catacombs of Rome and lived under Rome like rats down in the dungeons there and survived very well some of the major attacks of Rome against Christianity. And in fact, One of the main principles that we come to understand is under those kinds of persecutions that the church thrived. And what we as modern-day Christians don't often realize is, how did they survive? How did they thrive as Christians? You see, living and hiding down in the catacombs doesn't sound like a very luxurious kind of lifestyle to me, does it you? And because of that, I'm wondering to myself, how can the church grow? How can it evangelize when it's down in the dungeon or down in the caves? But it did. It thrived. The gospel message got clear into Caesar's home, and some of his family members became Christians because of the effects of the Apostle Paul, the ministry of the Apostle Paul. And so his imagery is very important for us to keep in the back of our mind when I share everything I want to share with you this morning, because I think part of the tools, not just the sword of the word, and that's the vital tool, but the tools that he gives us to be strong warriors and people that know how to do spiritual warfare and battle in the spiritual realm, because Paul clearly teaches us that our battles are not with the people who bring the battle. You know what I'm saying? Okay, your boss got down on you. So he gave you the worst job in the world, and he's always hanging on you and hounding you and yelling at you and all that kind of stuff. That's not your problem. That person is not your problem. Your problem is that the enemy is using that person to try to defeat your faith and cause you to doubt that God is really there working in your life. Let me tell you clearly. As a child of God, God is continually with your life. He never leaves you. That's what the scripture tells us. And to apply that in a practical sense, we've got to understand that the tools he's left us for communication and to obtain and access the power of God that we need. See, I like dynamo. You see, when I buy a tool, I don't just buy the basic tool. You already know where I'm going, don't you? I buy a tool that's got five times the power that I need four times bigger than it should be, because I like Tim the Tool Man Christianity. You know what I'm saying? I want to have, kick it up a notch. I want to have the biggest, most powerful, more power. That's where I'm thinking. That's what I want. I want my life to be dynamic. I'm not for anybody else necessarily, although if you live dynamically, believe dynamically, it's going to affect other people. But I want to live that so in such a dynamic way that I can walk with the kind of confidence that whatever comes my way, I'm going to have the discouragements and the frustrations and like everybody else. Jesus had them. Paul had them. All the great Christians in history have had these same issues and problems that we've had. Oh, yeah, it's intensified. It has a different name and it looks different. And that person may be a completely stranger to you, but the enemy knows how to use people to try to discourage you in your faith. Amen? And I'm here to tell you this morning that we can overcome anything, everything that comes our way. And I don't just want to talk in a negative kind of sense that there are problems that we have and how do we overcome those problems. That will be taken care of in the discussion this morning, but I want you to gain something. And I know a lot of times when I share these things, I'm excited about it and I want to get this because God has told me this kind of thing and I want everybody to get it. But I already know that most of you do get it. You've already probably steps ahead of me in this discussion. But for those that may not be as strong a Christian as you are, maybe this word this morning will touch something that will give them equipment to face the issues that they may be facing, which may be negative issues. But on the flip side of that, the joy and the blessings and the things that we recognize that God is doing in our life become even more dynamic to us. Because the positive is greater dynamo than the negative. You know, you can overcome a trial, you can defeat the enemy and defeat the agent of the enemy, but really the most dynamic thing is living successfully, because if you live successfully, you will live higher and better and stronger and less affected by the negative part of this world, amen? And you're going to experience negativity. Nobody's ever told you that when you get saved, everything becomes real rosy, because it does not. And if I'm not mistaken, when you first became a Christian, you were mired a little bit with your old life, trying to get it out of your life. And you may have been in a big swirl there for a while until you finally got your feet down and anchored and started serving Jesus Christ. Amen? That's why there's this great, wonderful grace period. Some of us are still in it, but you know, I mean, there's this grace period when you first become a Christian. And one of the last things I ever want to see Christians become one of those oppressed Christians. You've seen them. And maybe you've been there a few times. I probably have as well. I try to think positively all the time, but every once in a while I'm confessing something negative. But when you became a Christian, if you didn't get yourself in solidly and didn't learn what prayer and faith was really all about and how they were balanced together, you probably are living an unhealthy Christian life. Right. And let me share what I'm talking about. There's a lot of Christians that have got their salvation experience down. They've been saved. They've been going to church whatever amount of time, because it can happen to a young Christian as well as it can happen to an old Christian. But they get in this issue where somewhere down the road they sinned or something blew up in their life and they didn't know how to deal with it, didn't know how to bring the dynamics of your experience with Christ to deal with that particular issue. And so what happened is you became kind of melancholy. You became kind of depressed. You became kind of oppressed. And you began to get this long look in your face, and you began to have the basic faith down. Yeah, I'm going to make it to heaven, but I'm not real excited about going to church. Amen? And worse. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? And so I want to address that. I want to address that because I want you to be a dynamic Christian, and I want you to walk in victory, not in depression or loss or defeat. I don't want you to walk in defeat. Christians don't have to walk in defeat. You know why they don't have to walk in defeat? It's because all you've got to do is ask God to forgive you, and everything that brought you into that position is gone. Do you understand that? We live the best life that can be lived on the planet. Because when we've done something wrong and we look back on it and see, oh, God, how could I do such a thing? I know it offends you. I know it hurts you. And it hurts me. It hurts my family. It hurts my dog. It hurts my cat, my goldfish. It hurts everybody in my family. And so rather than allowing that to rot your soul. Forgive me for being so crude there, but to just rot your soul, rather than doing that, God has provided us through the blood of Jesus Christ a means of forgiveness. And I want to emphasize forgiveness for the rest of my life because I always need it, you always need it, but what we need to know is have a healthy view of forgiveness. Forgiveness washes away, does not excuse what you did. It washes away that sin out of your life. God forgives you of that sin by you merely asking Him and repenting in your heart for the deed or whatever, thought or action or whatever, and you repent before God and say, God, I'm sorry. That is gone forever. Do you understand that? So I don't care how many times you think about what you did, it is gone as far as God's concerned, and you need to let it go. How did I get off on this? I got off on this somehow. But what I want you to understand that there is something that we need to, as Christians, assert ourselves in for our own benefit, because there's a large portion of Christian people who have a tendency to fall into that place where they just settle for mediocrity as a Christian. Am I making sense? Okay, I'm a Christian. I go to church every Sunday. Pastor gets up and preaches, and we go home. We talk, oh, he said something nice today. But never put in action the dynamics of what has just happened here this morning. What happened? We worshiped God. And whether you recognize it fully or not, but God really did come into the room. And He did minister to hearts. If you don't feel like He's ministered to you or you don't even have a connection with God, hey, I understand. As much as you put into it is as much as you're going to get out of it. So if you come with anticipation, excited about what God's going to do, you will suddenly discover God doing things in your life. Amen? That's part of the faith issue. And if you get a good, healthy conversation going with God or a relationship going with God will make Himself real to you in ways you've never known. And He will grow you in ways that will really develop awesome stuff in your life. And that will be having a type of faith that I want to talk about, prayer faith, faith and prayer. I want to talk about them. Because what is it that moves Christian people in the areas of faith and prayer? Necessity. One of the things that moves Christian people, this is unfortunate, and it's not totally negative in my mind, but this is unfortunate that it takes things of necessity to move us. I am a person that believes that you can do things in advance of things happening to take care of the problem you're going to have. In fact, I think you have all dodged bullets and don't even realize it. I think God has done things for you and helped you and ministered to you and delivered you out of things. You didn't even know you were walking right into it and God delivered you out of it. It's true, it's happened. And if you think back a few times, unusual things have happened in your life that you couldn't explain, but they didn't seem real spiritual. But they were actually very spiritual because God was delivering you out of a trap or a snare or something that the enemy has set for you to stumble and falter your faith in. And so necessity sometimes drives Christians to action. That's unfortunate. We should be dominating the situation rather than being dominated by it. We as Christians have the power and the authority through Christ to dominate our circumstances and control much more than we do control. And so necessity moves us. Sometimes circumstances, the force of circumstances force us to move. And sometimes particular events happen that inspire us to move and we're driven by some of those things. And so I'm bypassing, I'm not talking to people that are not Christians. I'm talking Christianity here today. Because a person that's not a Christian can put some of the dynamics in action and they will work. Let me give you an example. This is probably not the best example, but it is an example. Did you know God blesses non-Christians who pay tithes? Did you know that? Yeah, if you give to God and you're not even a Christian, the dynamics and the principle of giving still works in your life even if you're not a Christian. So how much more does it work in our lives if we are Christian? Amen. But that's an example of what I'm talking about. God's principles and His blessings will go to anybody that practices them. Now, they may never make it to heaven, but they will have still been blessed because they did bless the kingdom of God. Is that make any sense? So that's a pretty good little principle. But here's the deal. I'm talking right to Christians, and I want you to be able to challenge your situations and be overcomer and dominate and control and have a lot more influence and control because you have faith and because you pray. Is that making sense? And only by the dynamics of prayer and faith together are you going to be able to affect your situation or your necessity or anything that God is doing in your life. You know, we tend to want to just live our life, not be bothered by anybody, not be bothered by, and certainly don't want to have any trouble or hassle. Most of our life is living trying to avoid the hassles of life. Amen? I don't want to go through the problems, so I avoid those problems. I don't want to mess with this guy, so I stay away from this guy. I don't want to be influenced by these people, so I don't want. You know what our biggest problem or one of our biggest threats is as Christians? Is hanging out where we shouldn't be hanging out and hanging with those we should not be hanging with. Those are the two areas that will make an alcoholic stay an alcoholic, make a drug addict stay a drug addict. Because here's the first thing you need to do as a Christian, get away from those people. Get out of that situation because you can never succeed in that situation. And I've heard people, I'm going to give you an example. When I was first saved as a Christian in Reno, one of the guys I knew of, apparently he became a Christian. I don't know when. This is when the hippie movement and the Jesus movement was happening. Do you know what I'm talking about? Let me look at this side because I think the older people are over here. When the hippie movement was going on, I got saved just prior to the big Jesus movement happening. The problem with the Jesus movement was not that they weren't getting Jesus. They were, but they were not changing. Am I making sense? And so I had one guy come up, hey, man, Connor, I heard you became a Christian. Yeah. He said, yeah, man, I became a Christian, such and such. He said, I go down to the bars and I buy guys drinks and I get drunk with them and then I tell them about Jesus. Every one of you got the same look on your face. That's convoluted. That's oil and water, is that they don't mix. Oh, you can shake them up and they'll look like they're mixed together for a bit. But that's why I always have to shake the Italian dressing, you know, because the oil, and they'll separate. And the problem with that, and the same thing, my brother, bad druggie, not an alky, he's a bad druggie. He's doing a little better, I hope, today, but his whole life has been just drugs. What's he got to be in his 50s now? He's got to be in his 50s. And his life has been a total waste. He's done nothing in his life. And that guy, I'm going to tell you what, if he came into this church for very long and sat and you got to know him, you'd be his best friend. But you'd also be the one he got the first wallet out of your pocket. You follow me? Because he's just, that's the way we is. So he introduced me. Hey, man, I want to introduce you to these two Christians I met, man. They're pretty cool guys. So I got it set up. We'll go up to the university campus in Reno, the University of Nevada at Reno, and I'll introduce these guys. You know, this is just the introduction. Gosh, I got to hurry up. And so I go meet these guys. Two things were wrong with that whole meeting. One, when I met them, they were stoned out of their mind. And two, when they shook my hand, they gave me that limp fish thing. Oh, don't you just want to? You just want to grab with both hands and just squeeze, except when the hand is wounded. So I knew right away, God is not in this. Although they may have initially found Christ and had faith, but it never became anchored in the dynamics of what God does in response to prayer and faith at the same time. I don't think you can have one without the other. I think you have to have them both. And so I observe this, and you see if you observe it the same way I do. I believe that there is reactionary faith and prayer, and I believe there's proactive faith and prayer. And what I think is so interesting about them, they both work. But I think one is far better than the other. Not that God is not involved, not that I'm not involving my faith. I think a lot of us as Christians fall down into that mediocrity, that settling for wherever we're at. I don't want to have to do anything more than tread water right here. You never make any progress treading water.
That's right.
And so when I'm talking about reactionary faith, it's kind of goes along with the necessity and the circumstances. I begin to apply my faith and my prayer as a circumstance arises. Okay, that's valid. We never know when some tragedy or some issue or some important thing we need God to get involved in is going to happen. So since we don't have that kind of foresight and understanding, we need to depend on the Holy Spirit. I contend that by what Paul is saying here is that we need to depend on that Holy Spirit far more than we do. And not settling for mediocrity. I think when Paul is talking about that God would give me boldness to speak the mystery of the gospel, I think he's talking about delivering it in a place that, like Caesar's home. That's what I think he's thinking about. I want to have the boldness to speak in a place that I shouldn't speak it, but I want to speak it because God is uttering or unctioning me to speak it. That takes more than your guts. That takes more than your ability. That takes the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's why I think prayer and faith combined together as in a healthy way, it can be at a time of reaction, but it just seems like you're never ready for it then. So then you've got to muster it up. You've got to build it up. You've got to get inspired somehow. Thank God the Spirit of God dwells in us to inspire us. Has anybody ever been in a situation where something happened, emergency, some kind of thing happened, and you had to muster the faith to get there? I think that's reactionary faith. It's not a bad thing, but by no means is it proactive. You're reacting to something that has happened. You begin to muster up and build up whatever faith, and you're not going to get any higher than the level you're at. Did you get that? Your faith and prayer life is never going to rise any higher than you are right now spiritually. There, part of the dynamics of this proactive faith is you're doing something to increase your faith and to increase your prayer life so that your faith is strong and unwavering and your prayer life is effective. Nobody likes to pray and nothing happen. Amen? And I think that happens to us a lot of times because we have settled for the level of faith and prayer we're at. And you're only going to get the effects and the dynamics of where you're at. That's why I think God grows us. That's why I think he throws obstacles and situations or allows them to be in our lives so that we will hit these things and be forced to address them. Amen? I don't know what's going on in everybody's life. I do know trouble's happening to all of us. Amen? I've rowed that boat a long time. I've been a Christian a long time, and I've been rowing that boat, and trouble's in that boat with me. Amen? And I don't want to be too facetious, because some of these issues in your lives are tough issues. They're life-changing, life-redirecting situations, and they involve choices that require substance of your character that you may not even know you have, because God's been building it on the sly, but it's going to challenge it. It's going to put you to the test. It's going to make you use it or lose it. Am I making sense? Let me ask you something. When you're going through something and you're just a reactionary kind of prayer, reactionary kind of believer, or somebody calls you on the prayer chain, you lift your faith to that point and pray for them, whatever, and you're a reactionary person, do you feel strong in your faith? You can imagine this even if you're not going through it. Do you really think you're a strong Christian in your faith and in your prayer life? If when situations arise and you address them and it does nothing for your spiritual walk and it does nothing for that other person's spiritual walk, I think you're settling. I think you're settling. I'm not talking to you, I mean, just in general. I think you're settling if you're not being proactive in your faith. I think it's a good thing that we have a group of people here, the prayer chain, that when we're texted out that there's a prayer, this church prays. Let me let you know that. If you've never availed yourself of the prayer chain at some point when you've had a need, you need to do so. Because this prayer chain works. This prayer chain prays, and this prayer chain gets results. And it's because people rise up, and some people are higher in faith than others, but either way, together, and I think partnership in prayer is a very good thing, and a very positive thing, and a very proactive thing. But my point is this, if we didn't have a group of people like this that stood with you, hello, during your times of issues, or even your positive times, celebrate with you. You know, it's not just praying for your problems, it's celebrating with you the answer to prayer. Hey, God did this. Let's celebrate that. And so everybody gets a word that God has done something. And it's always a faith-inspiring kind of thing. And that's the place I want to be all the time, where we're celebrating the response and the effectiveness of God and the answering of our prayers. I want to tell you something. There's a scripture that I just, well, the scripture I just read. Let me go to it because I want to emphasize this point. Listen to what he says. Verse 18, praying always. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. I know you don't pray always. And let me give you an enlightenment, kind of one of those theophanies right here. God is going to reveal this to you. I don't pray always. Pastor, you don't? No, I don't. I'm a reactionary prayer because we're all going to be that. But what I'm talking about is excelling to a place where we're seeing things that other people aren't seeing. We're seeing things in the Spirit, and we're seeing God respond and active in a way that others won't see it because there's too reactionary and not enough proactive. Amen? And I'll get into that in just a minute. But listen to this. Praying always with all prayer and supplication. You know, how do I get to this? This is important. How many of you know what supplication means? I mean, we don't even use that word anymore. I mean, I don't go to Thanksgiving dinner and say, let's have prayer and supplication. Oh, is that another sparkling cider or something? What is that? You know what supplication is? The elementary definition of that, the not too heavy definition of that, is requesting something from God. So, wait a second. I thought prayer was that. No. Prayer is having conversation with God. Prayer is fellowshipping with God. And along with it comes some supplication, whether you realize it or not. Supplication is requesting something from God. The heavier term of that is begging. Have prayer and begging. That's it. That's the heaviness. What's he talking about? Intensity. He's talking about intensity. How intense are you going to be in your prayer and supplication? You know, Jesus gave us so many clues that it's hard for me to realize that I've missed some of this sometimes. But the whole idea is, man, if you're asking, it's like the old lady that went to the judge and said, man, give me justice to my adversary here. And he just blew her off. But she just kept coming back and coming back and coming back and coming back. Kept knocking and knocking and knocking until finally he says, I'm going to give her justice just so she'll leave me alone. And that's the Lord's telling us the story. He's revealing something to us. He's telling us that God's not afraid of your supplication. He's not afraid of you keeping knocking, keep knocking, keep knocking. It's that intensity that moves the hand of it. It's that intensity that shows that you've got confidence and trust in God and that you're the answer. There's no other way. I've got to get through to you. Do you think God does not love that? He loves his people to need him and want him and to fellowship. Yeah, that's great, but he wants the intensity of proactive faith. He loves it even more when you start bringing down the strongholds of the enemy. When you start tearing up the devil on God's terms rather than his terms. Amen? When you're reactive, you react on his terms. Yes. Am I making sense? You're reacting. You got prayer and your faith and you're believing for God and you're believing with others for this thing and you're coming into unity and an agreement. You're doing that all on that basis, but you're doing it on the terms of the enemy. The enemy of your soul, probably the sponsor of whatever your problem is, if you have a problem, he probably the sponsor. There's a scripture that talks about that the Lord is going to restore unto us what the locusts have eaten. I think the locust has eaten a lot of things out of your lives, my life, our lives. because I've reacted, and that's all the level, higher level I've applied myself to issues. And God has been merciful and answered. But when I have been proactive, I can tell you almost the same day God answers. And if you don't believe me, ask my wife, because she does know too, because that's my partner in agreement. When we have a serious thing to agree in, we get together, hold hands, and we agree as touching that thing. Amen. Jesus wasn't lying when he told you that. When he said, "We're two or three are gathered together, I'm there in the midst." And said, if two of you agree as touching anything, am I making any sense? That's not me, that's Jesus. He said, if you agree, he's touching that. I'm going to be honest with you. We pray sometimes. Sometimes we agree. And God responds. But I'm going to tell you what. You grab onto my wife's hand, and you come into agreement with her praying against the devil or whatever it is, being proactive, preemptive, whatever. Let's pray for this before it happens. I'm guarantee you, you'll never see it because, and never even know if it happened or not, because you're going to see that God answers your prayer. Amen. And I can give you examples. I hate to give them to you because some of them are very personal, but we've had, I don't know if you know this or not, but you're not so naive and childlike that you don't understand that churches have problems. Let me sit down. It may take me a while to tell you about this. But we've had problems in this church. Every church has problems because you have people. And not everybody's going to jive. Not everybody's going to agree. Not everybody's going to love the pastor because he parts his hair on this side. Some of them may want him to shave it up this side with a Seahawk emblem in it, you know. I was at a grocery or a mini mart stopping for a cup of coffee or something. I see this kid, he's got his hair kind of spiked up like this. Both sides are kind of shaved, but in the hair they had drawn the picture of the Seahawk, the emblem in there. And I'm thinking, oh my gosh, that's cool looking. And the bad thing is, when it grows out, then you got to go pay for it again. But my point is, but we've had problems. We've had issues and situations and have not always been, I have not been the great wise sage that sits on the Himalayas that people seek for wisdom, you know, got this long beard. Mine's only going that far. But and so sometimes you do things you think are right and think you're approaching it right and it blows up in your face. Have you ever experienced that? Well, in a church, it's worse. Now, you can do it on a job, but you can always get another job. Well, you can always go to another church, too, I guess. But my point is, when it blows up in a church, it's bad because there are so many relationships involved in it. Am I making sense? And so a lot of Christian people, including people in this church, get mad at the pastor because something happened wrong or he didn't do it right or should have done it this way and should have done it a long time ago and do it this time. We had an issue. And it was disturbing me a great deal. I know you don't think I care about anything, but I do. And I'm worried about what goes on in this church because I only want the gospel preached in this church, not agendas. And my wife and I decided, you know what? We need God to do something right now. I wish I could tell you what it was exactly, but most of you might know already anyway. But I'm not going to put it on tape and on the internet, so forget it. But my point is, we prayed. It was in the morning, because we do a lot of spiritual stuff in the morning, talking about stuff and all that. And I got up. I was sitting on the fireplace mantle or the hearth there, and I got up and we took hands, and we just prayed. It wasn't a long prayer. It was just, God, this is what we need to have you do, and we need the answer now. And we're coming in. Have you ever done that?
Yes.
I'm here to tell you, that's proactive. We took the situation and said, we're not doing this anymore. We're taking charge of this. And we prayed the next day. The next day, God answered that prayer. And I share that with you, not to tell you that we have trouble in this church, but what I'm telling you is, that God responds in focus.
Yes.
Did I say something? What did I do? Oh. Gosh. How in the world that? You know, Guy Brownlee told me something once. He said, if you are ever forced out of an airplane, don't take a parachute. Just take an extension cord. Because your cord will get hung up on everything. It'll catch on something. If you've ever been in construction, you know what we're talking about. You can't. Yeah, anyway, I won't tell you. So where was I now? I was carrying a. What was that?
You needed God to move now.
Yeah. That's right. Thanks, man. Yeah, and he did. He answered, and it was a very important issue, and it solved, oh man, lots of problems. It took care of the issue, but it was because we became proactive about it. We said, no. We're not going to fight this on the devil's terms. We're going to come against this on God's terms. Now, this, folks, is a reality. You can address this proactively. Whatever is going on in your life, good, bad, ugly, you know, if it's a good thing, then you want to celebrate in a proactive way. You want to glorify God. You want to give him the honor, give him the praise for everything that he's done. You want to be sure to do that. You want to be a grateful, thankful people. We want to give God all of the glory he deserves and more. So what does it take? It takes a little more. You see, you can't be proactive without putting some energy into it. You have got to determine in your heart, this is what we're going to do. I've made up my mind. We're going to be proactive about this. And God has answered prayer in ways, I could sit here and tell you all kinds of stories and stuff, but you don't have time for that. But I'm just giving you a slight example, or not even a clear example, of how God responds. And he's done that for us, not just in church work and things that we want to see happen in the Spirit here, but he's done that in our personal lives. And that's why I wanted to share this message this morning, because I believe God wants to do powerful, dynamic things. He wants you to come with him in prayer, and not begging, that's not it, but he wants it to be as intense as begging. Because you don't have to beg God for anything. You just have to ask your Father to minister in your life, and he will do that. But how many of us today here, right now, this morning, have a situation or thinking about a loved one or a family member or a friend that's walking down a path that they shouldn't be? You can preempt some of that. You can help them in advance by prayer and supplication in a dynamic way. It doesn't take a lot of time. It isn't an always, every day, every waking moment thing. It's a kind of thing where you just apply your faith and pray and God responds. But you're taking action and you're not fighting on the devil's level. And the reason I say that is because we don't fight flesh and blood. We don't fight members in the church. It looks like it. You know, I mean, sometimes we're in, I remember a ladies, what were they called? Ladies? Oh, well, retreat was one of them, but I was thinking of another one. When a couple of our ladies disagreed on something, and my wife had to separate them in a Christ-like manner, and because they didn't agree and so forth. And the bad thing about it, there was a visiting lady there that was visiting and never came back. And I don't know why, but I mean, these ladies knew how to argue well. You know, being a good Christian, they knew how to argue well. And my wife had to separate that. That's not the correct kind of preemptive thing we want to have to deal with, but we pray for the church and we pray for our ministries and we pray that they don't argue, amen, and that they get things together. And so that's all the devil. The devil seriously is out to destroy you and me, and if nothing else, destroy our faith, just our faith in God, our trust in God. The enemy is out there. So why fight on his terms? I say we don't fight on his terms. I say we fight preemptively. Because if we fight preemptively, we're getting the cooperation of the Father. We're getting the cooperation of the Father. And here's the cool thing about it. If you're strong in faith and prayer and coming into agreement, in fact, I think partnership is very important, and obviously partnership with God. But I think partnership is good because it helps keep you focused. It helps add intensity and strength to your prayer. It adds accountability. And what I mean by that is not that were you wrong or I was wrong. No, what I mean by accountability is that we encourage one another that we're still on track in this prayer that we're praying about. Amen? And so here's some things about proactive faith. You address an issue that you may perceive. This is why Paul was asking for them to pray and beg God for him, that he could be bold enough to preach right in Caesar's house. That's kind of what he's talking about. It's the same thing. We want to address issues before they happen. That's what he's talking about. Proactive faith. Be proactive. Pray for me and beg God for me and minister to me through God by being proactive in praying for me. You don't know how many times we've prayed for you proactively. We get a message from the Spirit. When he talks about utterance and he talks about God giving him the words, I'm telling you that you have to be so sensitive to the Holy Spirit because he's the one that can tell you what's coming down the road that you need to pray about. You don't need the soothsayer to tell you that. You don't need a great prophet to tell you that. But God's Holy Spirit can speak to you about what to pray preemptively and proactively. I think it's entirely him. Otherwise, we will be responding reactively. Am I making sense? And so we need to address issues in advance and let the Holy Spirit tell us what those issues are. And we need to set healthy parameters. If you're going to partner with someone, set a healthy parameter there. Hey, I want to pray about this, but nobody needs to know about this. Am I making sense? The most effective prayers are ones that are not told to everybody. Because if you tell everybody, sometimes they become gossip.
That's right.
Oh, we're praying for him because he's a drunk. Well, come on. No, we're praying for him because we want him to find Jesus Christ because that's the answer to all of his problems. Hello? See, it's not what they do, it's who they are. They need Christ. Anyway, and so we need to set healthy parameters on our prayer life because we want it to be preemptive. So therefore, we need to set focused prayer. Specific prayer, not general prayer. Are we on the same page? And so specific and focused because that's what causes the dynamics of God's intensity and focus himself. You're then on the same mindset as God. And then you are fighting on his terms and not on the devil's terms. The best way to fight a battle is when you have the upper hand and that's God's terms. I don't like fighting like the devil. I like to fight like the Holy Spirit wants me to fight him. Although there was a time when I did fight like the devil. That's why this nose is kind of hard to hold my glasses in. So the thing about it is, this is a very spiritual thing. I want to emphasize that. It's a very spiritual thing that Paul is talking about and that we're talking about. Because it requires some inspiration, the Spirit to speak into us. And I'm going to tell you something. When he does that and you become a proactive prayer and believer, you're going to be shown things in the Spirit. I believe that when Paul was caught up in the third heaven and saw things that was not lawful for him to see, I think that's what he's talking about. God revealing things to him and showing him things, spiritual things, showing you the future, showing you heaven, whatever, is because you're stepping into a different level spiritually. You're not down here just reacting to everything that happens, which is okay, that's good, it works. But it wouldn't be more dynamic if we had a church full of people that were seeing things in the Spirit because of their faith and their prayer life? Absolutely. And so I want to encourage you with that because it takes practice. Doesn't take a lot of time. Settle down. I know you're just about ready to jump up and run to the altar and start praying and take all afternoon, right? Am I right? No, you were not. I'm not that naive, but it takes practice. And so the next issue that comes up in your life, good, bad, or ugly, get your prayer partner. Get your husband, your wife, whatever. And if you don't have one, you and the Lord come into agreement. Because if my wife and I are praying, we're still got to come into agreement with God. And so if you're the only one praying, you find what his mind is. Elevate yourself to his level. Pray for that. And you watch and see if God does not prove this to be the truth. I don't give stuff to you that I haven't tried. And I don't expect you to do things that don't work. Why do I want to waste your time? I want you to be effective in your prayer life. I want you to be the kind of person that lays your hands on somebody and their life just changes dramatically because you have unleashed the power of God and the spiritual dynamics of being a preemptive, proactive prayer. Amen? Instead of letting things get to us, let's take the battle to the devil. Does that make more sense? Let's fight the battle on God's terms. not on his terms. And I'll guarantee you something. If the scripture tells us the way to defeat the enemy is just resist him. That's what the scripture says. If you want to, well, the Bible says if you resist the devil, he must flee. I don't know about you. Flee is not one of those little bugs on a dog. Flee means he's running from you. Hello? And by the way, you don't even know this, but write this down on your hand. And when you get to heaven, tell the Lord this. Lord, how many times did we cause the devil to flee and didn't even know it? God, show me how my spiritual walk defeated the enemy. Because we have the victory. We have the victory. And it's not us having power and magic wands. That's not, I'm talking about living out things better than the devil can defeat you in. Living out ways that honors God and brings glory to God and create that faith prayer type dynamic in your life that causes you to walk a step above what the enemy can throw at you. Hello? Then whatever comes, you can cause him to flee because you have the ability to show him resistance. All too often, we listen to the devil. By the way, I'm not speaking to you specifically. I'm just saying in general. But we're just like our mom and dad. Adam and Eve. The devil would talk to them and lie to them, and they believed him. Now look where we're at. We got to get saved and get to heaven. We could have been there all along. So what I want to encourage you to do, I want you to test this out. I want you to prove this for yourself. I want you to experience this. And whatever next issue comes up in your life, good, bad, or ugly, take charge of it. Because I believe that when you come into agreement with a partner, God or some other partner in prayer, I believe you. That's a sign of resistance. You're resisting. And I guarantee you the enemy's going to run from you. He's going to flee from you. Many of you have caused him to flee and didn't even realize you in your prayer life already, even if you're reactionary. It doesn't make any difference because that works too. Have caused the enemy to flee from you. Think about that. Lucifer, son of the morning, great, great leader of worship, once in heaven, access to the throne, thought, well, one day I'm going to be bigger than God. I'm so popular. I'm so cool. I'm going to be bigger than God. That guy flees from you. Flees from you every time you resist him. And the best way to resist him is get to him before he can get to you. Right, amen? Get to him before he can get to you. John, did you have something to say? Yeah, very good point. That's right. No retreat. No running. No cowardice. Very good. By the way, strategically and militarily, probably the most advanced and most effective military to ever exist. They were brilliant practitioners of war. And you're right. There was nothing to protect the back. So if you were running... I think they all threw their sword at you. I don't know. Very good point, John. I appreciate that. Let's stand, shall we? Praise the Lord. So I want you to walk out of this church with your armor on, but I want you to walk out of here confident because you have the kind of tools already available to you to conquer any situation in your life. Amen? And I don't think everything that's going on in your life is bad. So it will help you in your proper celebration of what God is doing in your life. Amen? It'll cause you to praise him, and when you ask him, you just ask him to bless your life and to just give all honor to God. It's just a great principle, taking charge of your life through your prayer and your faith. Amen? And God will hand in hand help you do that. He will come into agreement with you and see, I know you think you got just a mundane, regular life, nothing much happening, I got to go to work in the morning and all of that, but let me tell you what. Causing the devil to flee is a pretty big thing, folks, I'm telling you. And to get his hands off of your family members, trust me, it's a great work that God does through you for your family and friends and whatever. So get proactive about your faith and your prayer, and watch how it grows, and watch how many times God answers your prayer so quickly. Amen? Intensity means something to God. Father, we love you this morning. And I just want to pray a prayer for the people of this church, Lord. I know you love them, and I know you've blessed them, and you've ministered to them already today, and you've wanted them to know how much you're concerned about them and so forth. And you know what's ahead of them, Father. And so I want to encourage them to walk on your plane, to think like you think, to fight the battles on your terms and not on the terms of the enemy. And so I'm just praying, Father, that you would make us all intense, intensify our faith, intensify our prayer life so that we're focused and that we can accomplish much and effectively for you. I bless every family here in the name of the Lord and ask you to just pour out your blessings in great and marvelous ways. And we pray that prayer in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen, amen, amen. God bless you. Now do me a favor.
For more information about Christian Worship Center, visit us on the web at www.cwczilla.org. We'd love to see you in person at 204 Shane Road, Zilla, Washington, 98953.